How you doing? Have you ever gone to a party with someone else, to a party of a person you didn't know, and you're there and you're kind of pretending to be excited about that person, but you're really just there for the cupcakes? So, at least I see some of you nodding. So at least that's what I've done before, where I don't. Just here for the food. You guys celebrate. Sometimes Easter can be that way. Christmas can be that way, where it's a party. It seems like you're in a mixed group of people where it's like, you know, some people seem like really excited, really stoked about Easter. And some of us are just like, happy for you. Let's see if this religion thing is as cultish as maybe you think it is and all that. So here's my goal, is not to introduce anyone to any type of really a religion. I want Easter to make sense. As a church, we're not interested in playing games, playing church, pretending. We're actually not even interested in just feeling some certain of emotion. There's a big deal about Easter. I'm going to explain it. So I thought we could lead with this. I'm going to give you a statement and have you kind of debate me in your head and process this. Everyone follows direction from someone. Just think about it. Everyone would include you and me, follows direction from someone. Now, frankly, that's someone, that's where it's like, well, who is that and how's that playing out? If you want to know the weight to a statement like that, you go to the negative. So let me tell you the negative. Proverbs 14. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. So you're like, okay. So whoever you're getting advice from, whoever's leading you right now, it's a huge deal. Let's take this like ground level, easy level. Think about the last time you asked for advice, or maybe more modern, the last time you went to YouTube to try to figure out how to do something. You've been, right? Sometimes you go to YouTube. There's lots of different reasons that you go to YouTube. I looked it up. I was curious. What do people go to YouTube to find out how to do it? And I thought this was interesting. Top three how-tos, how to put in contact lenses. If you're an eye doctor, you're like, I told him how to do it, right? You're like, okay, how to get further on a video game. In the old days, you got these magazines you would look at, and you're like, oh, cool. How to shave for the first time. So if you want to, like, make a viral video, video yourself shaving, and there you go. For me, I'm searching, like, how do I take the windshield wipers off? And then I got to go find the other video. How do I put the new ones on? And anyone else? Right? Think about, right now, I'd love for you to process. When you need to know, like, where are you getting that from? I joke about YouTube, but you maybe have a friend, a super wise friend. Maybe you believe in some other religion, you know, you go to that direction. Maybe you just, like, yourself, you as we say, you trust your gut, so you go with your gut, and that's what's leading you. You can go out of the world of windshield wipers and shaving and all that and get a whole lot more serious. I thought this was scary. You want to hear? Here's just a stat. 84% of mental health advice on TikTok is misleading. They did a whole research project where they looked at, like, all the stuff that many of you are self-diagnosing yourselves based on reels that you're watching. And 84%, if you don't know stats, anytime 84% or anything around that, you need to know that it's, in other words, most of the stuff. So you begin to feel a little weight there. We're going, uh-oh, this isn't about fixing something in my house. There are people making life-changing, very specific decisions based on strangers' advice. So I think the question I asked at the beginning is a big deal. In fact, let's go more into the word of God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, one of the most memorized verses of all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you know what this is saying, this is telling you, oh, you want to know who to get direction from? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But I love how the verse doesn't leave you and I, and lean not on your own understanding. You know why that's in there? Because you and I lean on our own understanding. Meaning you and I have a tendency to go with our gut rather than God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. If you want to know what Easter is about, it's not actually designed by God himself to be some religious holiday. It's to go after a major question. Whose direction are you building your life on? Like, let's get a little bit more weighty as we walk through this. Like when you're looking at not just like fixing things and doing minor things, or maybe you're just wrestling with some things in your head. You're like, who you're actually building your life upon? Like the stuff that maybe we weren't thinking about as kids, but maybe the older that we get, we begin to think about, well, whew, I'm thinking about going and moving there, or ooh, I really like that person. I'm thinking about maybe asking them to marry me, or then you begin to maybe create a family or start a business, and you begin to make some like formidable big decisions of what you're building. The Bible talks about you can build your life on a rock or on sand. And most of us would recognize there's a good way to build your life and there's a bad way. I'm just gonna ask the question, where are you getting your wisdom? Where are you getting your advice? Where are you making your decisions from? Are they hunches or what grandma taught you? Or is there something deeper? And so let me tell you why Easter's a big deal, because Jesus taught us something. So here's his words. This is like some of the most divisive words Jesus ever spoke. I thought, why not bring it up at Easter? Huh? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So divisive, because again, we talk about all the time, like if you have a coexist bumper sticker, sorry. But Jesus would argue that, because he would say, he is the way. He was going after something that I think is worthwhile. Let's break it down. Sometimes we like read the Bible like, oh, that's cool. Oh, here, without the way, this is what he's going after. There is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. So if you just slowly begin to go through what he says, you begin to understand, like if I don't lean into what he's talking about, there's a chance I may just live this life less fulfilled, or maybe worse. I may go in the complete wrong direction. I may build everything that I ever wanna build on the wrong foundation. So if you don't know, if no one's ever taught you what Jesus taught that was so divisive, here's exactly what he was going after. Jesus said, I am the way you must follow. He wasn't arguing. He wasn't saying, if you're in the mood or if you think he's right. He was stating a very factual, foundational, lock this on. I am the way you must follow. I am the truth you must believe. I am the life for which you must hope. Big words, big words. In fact, if you don't listen to the rest of the sermon, because sometimes that's what I would do. I would be like, Nate, and I would look at my phone and let me help you understand the most important word ever to happen, the most important person to ever happen, what Easter is all about. Let me make it very clear and in front of your face, Jesus. When you process how you're building your life, when you think about the wisdom you're using to govern anything from your finances to your family, when you're going to school and you're navigating all of the drama, I know it's a shocker, there's drama at school. When you begin to navigate all of the stuff in life, the ups, the downs, and all those kinds of things, and you begin to go like, what do I do? How do I do this? You need to know who Jesus is. There's no like mincing like, well, that's your way or no. No, and see, this is why Easter's a big deal. I'm gonna like get super practical with you, because some of you right now, I know you're thinking, you might even be new to church or you're not even sure about this. You're like, David, that's your way. You like Jesus, I like another way. I mean, that's fair, you get that choice. But the reason Easter is such a big deal is because it's a life and death time. Everyone follows direction from someone. And Jesus was not offering advice on windshield wipers and how to shave and all those kinds of things. Jesus shows up and it's all about life and death. He did not come for a meaningless moment. So some of us, you're aware of this. This is perhaps some of you, the almost taboo subject for some of us, life and death. Easter, if you're going to talk about Easter for what it really is, if you're going to talk about Jesus for who he really was, you have to talk about death and you have to talk about life. And this symbol for, you know, I don't have to describe it to you. Do you notice that I don't have to tell you what this is? I don't have to walk you through like, well, here's what this means and why. No, you just know. In fact, for some of you, you're rather uncomfortable even just seeing the image of this where you're like, wow, why do we have to go there? Because if we don't go here, we can't celebrate. And so Jesus doesn't just like become this moral teacher that some of us are only giving him credit for. This is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. He came to die. And that's exactly what happened. He did die. Let me take you in to the story. Matthew chapter 27, when they had crucified him, now just stop. This is not up for debate. If you don't know your history about the Romans were very good at multiple things. One of them was killing people. And historically, not just in the Bible, but in other historical documents all across the board, there's actually no debate of whether or not Jesus existed and whether or not Jesus was crucified. He was killed, marked in the books. It's in multiple places. It was actually not for argument. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. See, the problem that now came about was that the people who had him killed were afraid that they would soak up some new rumors about Jesus. In fact, I want to point something out. If we keep reading, we jump to like verse 64. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. I just want to make an observation. These are his enemies going to the government and asking to make sure the tomb is secure, which gives you and I a tip. Did Jesus actually get killed? His enemies would not be overprotecting this concept of making sure his body gets stolen or not if he wasn't in fact dead. So you and I, the argument of did he get crucified? Absolutely, 100% locked in. In fact, he was dead. They were afraid of like what people would do and manipulate the story. Otherwise, the disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first. So they go to Pilate and they're like, Pilate, come on, man. Like, help us. Here's what Pilate says. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. You tell Romans how to make something as secure as they know how. You better believe they're doing it. Their lives are on the line. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Many of us know the story, but some of us have never heard this. I'm just bringing the point that Jesus, the one who said he's the way, the truth, and the life, you need to know he died. If you don't know why, like why would he do that? Because there was no other way to pay for your sin and mine, not his, your sin and mine. Most of us are aware that we make a choice, that when we make a bad choice, the Bible calls it sin. When you sin against God, go against God, that we understand there's consequences. Most of us understand there's consequences. The consequence to sin means something perfect, someone perfect has to die for it. So we can't celebrate Easter unless we go to this dark place at first, that there's this tomb because there was a dead person in there and he is Jesus. But that's not the whole Easter story. The reason we celebrate is not necessarily someone's death, because most of us have had someone in our life claim to be someone that they ended up not being. They've claimed that they've loved us, but they didn't actually love us. They claim to be something that they weren't. Almost every one of us can, in fact, maybe most of us would actually say that for ourselves. There have been times that we have misrepresented ourselves. So Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he dies for our sins. On the cross, he says, it is finished, meaning payment for your sins and mine. But how do we know? Like, some of us think that that's where we enter blind faith, right? Just believe. Really? Do you know that the whole Christian faith is built on this next moment? Not on some hope or pipe dream or optimism or some rumor. Luke 24, good telling of this story. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Do you know why they were going to the tomb with spices? Because Jesus had died. and they're going to the tomb to take care of the body that they believed was there. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, just wondering like, what in the world's going on? Why are they wondering about this? Suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. That's where we're very alarmed at this moment. Hence, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?" And they kind of remind him and refresh him. Okay, just remember, here's what he said. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Let me, like, literally look at me. If you want to know why we've all assembled in this moment to celebratory and like actually like say, this is awesome, and we're not like all sad and grieving in this moment, it's because all of a sudden Jesus like went into an arena that you and I have decided is impossible to beat. Because it is. You look at the fears that most people have. Still, year after year after year, they re-rank your fears in mine. Top three fears, always death is there. Nowadays, as a pastor, I can tell you, funerals, fewer and fewer people are doing funerals. Did you know this? And it's not just because of costs. It's because most people are terrified and just completely overwhelmed with the idea of facing death. Yet we have the Almighty God who is like leaving paradise to step into our world and to take on death, to go into the arena of death. But the arena doesn't just stay at the cross, it goes to the tomb. People don't come back alive. People don't come back alive. But the cross and the tomb, Jesus is like, not only do I conquer the power of sin, I now conquer the power of death. Most of the time when we look at what Jesus says, we're supposed to, and I get it, we should go to the Gospels. But I thought I'd take you to a rare place, Revelation, one of the weirdest books. Come on. If you go home and now read this, you're gonna be like, he's right. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Everyone follows direction from someone. And let me be very direct with you. You can get your advice on how to shave from YouTube. You can get financial advice from a financial advisor. You can go to certain people that you trust with wisdom about how to navigate a lot in life. But let me like bare like raw way to live life. If you're gonna take direction on this side of eternity about the other side of eternity, then you should lean into the guy that was dead and came back to life again. It's really as practical as that. Like, let me tell you why I'm a pastor. Because of all the people I've ever met in my life, of all the scientific data that I've ever researched, of all the historical stuff I've ever researched, the most factual thing that I could understand with the most validating eyewitnesses that I could ever find is the fact that there was a guy who was killed in front of tons of people. And then in front of tons of people came back to life and walked around over 500 witnesses that at the risk of their lives stated, it's him, I've seen him. The disciples, almost all of them get martyred for talking about what they believed about Jesus. People only do that when things are true. So I build my life on the very fact, the guy who came back to life, what else did he say? It's really that simple. So Easter, we gather like, how am I gonna do this? How am I gonna do that? Like, what do I think about life? How do I treat other people? Should I forgive that person? Should I help over there? Should I say this? Should I not say this? How should I do life? What did the guy that died and came back to life again, what did he say? And when it comes to death and life and your sin, Psalm 49:7. I love what the psalmist says. No one can redeem the life of another or give God a ransom for them. You know what he's saying? I mean, you can try to be good enough to try to meet God someday. You can try to like even help someone else and be good enough for them. There's a lot of us right now hanging on to the faith and the good works of our grandma and grandpa, hoping that maybe the family we're associated with or the church that we're connected to is good enough. But I love how this almost is like, no. But then he doesn't leave it. He doesn't leave it. Verse 15, but God will redeem me. God. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Or perhaps even more direct words, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God made Christ, it's Jesus, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Everyone follows direction from someone. Perhaps you've been following yourself, your gut. Let me ask you very directly. How do you know what happens to you after you die? And then maybe a better question, where'd you come up with that? How do you know how to have hope when your life looks hopeless? And then maybe a better question, how'd you come up with that answer? How do you know how to raise a family in the best way? And how'd you come up with that answer? How do you know how to do life? Who are you getting your advice from? You ever gotten bad advice? We should probably spend like 10 minutes just talking about the bad advice just to kind of make us all laugh, right? I mean, most of us have bad advice. I read a story that's kind of like haunting me a bit. This couple, all of a sudden in their bank account, got $120,000 deposited into their bank account. So far you're like, can that please happen to me, right? So think about it. Don't nudge anybody. But if all of a sudden you opened up your phone right now, just kind of like looked at the app, like, and there was 120 grand just sitting there that you didn't know was there and just got deposited, what would you do? I can tell you what one family did in Pennsylvania. They went on a spending spree. In fact, I looked it up just so you know, this is factual. Pennsylvania, if you want to think how people operate in Pennsylvania, but it's Pennsylvania. They purchased an SUV, okay, a race car. I like how they're doing this. A race car, two side-by-sides, and a camper, as well as paying bills, and they give $15,000 to friends. I mean, it's nice. Nice. That's almost 10%, but whatever. Or it's in there. Listen, what would you do? Well, did you know they got advice? And they're like, hey, there's 120 grand. So they went and talked to. They went to talk to somebody, said, hey, so I got 120 grand put into my bank. What should I do? And apparently this friend was like, go on a spending spree. You know what happens when someone validates what you want to do? You're like, you're right. You're so right. I deserve this. The bank called, hey, so we accidentally gave you 120 grand. That's what happens. You get that phone call. I don't even think it's an app pop-up. It's like, you know, you get a phone call. In fact, maybe in a personal visit, but hey, so we'd like the 120 grand back. It was an accident. And then the family's like, you want to see our race car? I mean, it's awesome. It was spent. And if you know anything about vehicles and all that kind of, I mean, you're not going to get the money back. There's a major problem. And so they basically said, no, we can't and we won't. So the bank did what you can do. I mean, there's a potential felony now going on with this. And they took them to court. And on the way into the courtroom, the leader of the family was quoted as saying, and you'll like this, all I'm going to say is we took some bad legal advice from some people, and it probably wasn't the best thing in the end. You think. Right? What if you took a statement like that and turned it up a little bit? Are you willing to risk your very soul on some bad advice? Are you willing to risk your family, your friends, on a gut intuition, on a Google search you did, on how you were raised? And what I'm gonna tell you is, I didn't do a Google search. I didn't come up with what I'm telling you. I'm telling you very, very distinctly, Jesus is the best option and only option you've ever had. He loves you. He came to earth for you, to die for you, and he proved he is who he said he is. Everyone follows direction from someone. Galatians says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. How do we live life? By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I give you a warning? This isn't a sermon just saying, hey, just become Jesus's biggest fan. It's deeper than that, okay? In fact, Luke addresses this. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Jesus did not just come to get a bunch of fans. He actually said, you wanna follow me? You wanna be a part of this? You're gonna have to trust me. So you're gonna actually have to choose Jesus's way over your way every single day. This is why, I think, the image we should use this year. As morbid as it feels, I gotta tell you, really as morbid as it feels. Like, what if... If you'll track with me, like, what if this was what Jesus was calling us to? What if for you to actually, when it says, if you believe in me, trust in me, talking about Jesus, what if this was the approach? Because I think it is. Will you take your will? When Jesus taught us how to pray, we pray that his will be done on earth. When Jesus taught us how to follow him, is that we would take our own personal desires, our own cravings, and that we would let them die. If you know anything about baptism, we're gonna have baptism next week. Come on, we have baptism. Do you know what baptism is? Is when people go underwater, laid to rest, and come back to life. You're seeing now the symbolism of the crucifixion and Easter. So here's how I'd like to challenge you. What do you do with Easter? It's a very simple prayer. I surrender my way. I choose your way, God. In fact, here in a moment, I'm a big advocate of not just thinking stuff. Because a lot of times I think stuff and then don't remember stuff. Not that anyone else relates to that. A lot of times I'll have a moment with God and then like 5 minutes later, my mind is on something entirely different and I forgot everything. So I'm a big advocate of praying to God, talking to God, but then like moving my body a little bit and doing something to mark that moment. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna lead us in a prayer here in a moment. Where if you've never decided to follow Jesus, I'm gonna invite you to surrender and very practically and logically actually go, you know what? I don't think YouTube and Google and my best friend know all the right answers. I think Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm gonna build the rest of my life off whatever he said. I'm gonna go find out what he said. And I'm gonna live that way. I'm gonna pick up my cross daily. And so here's what I'm gonna do, the symbolism of this. Is we're gonna pray, and if you pray that prayer with me, I'm gonna invite you to write your name on a card and nail it to one of these, just to mark the moment. For some of you, that is a level of courage that you will be unwilling to do, to get up in front of anyone, the action of nailing it, the noise, all that stuff. You're like, I don't know. But for some of you, here's what I believe. I know God well enough. Here's what I know. God brought many of us tonight, and we may have like gone, we're just with a friend, or we're just trying church out for the first time, or like we don't even really want to be here. But all of a sudden, you feel your heart increasing in rate as though God himself is dealing with you right now. Let me just encourage you. I'm not trying to sell you on anything. But I personally am building my life on what Jesus said. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I can tell you how you do this. Every day, I surrender my way. And I choose God's way. And if you need me to be extra vulnerable with you, you know there's days I totally screw that up. Whatever you think Easter is, let me be very clear. God loved you so much to step out of whatever version of perfect we don't even understand yet about heaven and to enter this jacked up, messed up, crazy world, to let himself be brutally beaten nearly to death. And just before he was beaten to death, they then took him and nailed him to a cross and watched people watch him die, spit on him, mock him. And everyone thought, and including the devil, we beat him. And he's like, oh, I got something. 3 days later, he's walking around. And so we as followers of Jesus Christ celebrate that like crazy. So, let's do this. Let's go to God. Wherever you're at spiritually, let's just go to God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want to lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, every single one of us comes from all different kinds of life experiences. God, every single one of us comes from situations, some good, some great, some miserable, some epic. Some of us were raised in Christian homes. Some of us were raised learning the Bible at the early age of one. And some of us, this is the first time we've ever heard about Jesus. So God, right now we bow in front of you. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you would speak to every one of our souls. Lord, for those of us who have been getting our direction that matters elsewhere, Lord, will you correct that right now? Whatever lies we've believed, deceptions, God, would you show us the truth? Help us to understand and believe the truth. With your heads bowed still, I'm gonna invite you. If you've never surrendered your life, there's no magical prayer. You just tell God in your head, God, I surrender. I'm going all in, I'm following you. I give you my life, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and lead me for the rest of my life. Today, I pick up my cross and I follow you. God, may we be a group of people who follow the perfect one. God, help us to be a church who believes in grace and mercy as you've extended it. God, may we be a group of people who believe in life after death because of Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.